the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Thursday afternoon, welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines along with Vince Farrar. We are at the Food City, which is in Fountain City, and you need to come by here and register. It's 4805 North Broadway. Why do you need to come by here? Because this is your last chance to qualify for the big ticket. The big ticket is a fantastic prize. It's season tickets for Tennessee football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, Ice Bears, and Tennessee Titans. And they're parking passes for some of those as well. So that's what's up for grabs. If you can qualify, we're going to be taking qualifiers at the Food City at 4805 North Broadway until 5:45. We will then draw two qualifiers at that time, our final qualifiers, and then in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to announce a winner, a huge prize, and certainly hopefully we'll have football, college football this fall. But that's what's up for grabs, so you can come by here, and here's what has to happen. When you come by here, you'll be texting a keyword to 68683. And you will text that word there. You will then enter as a potential qualifier, and then you can be selected. So that is what's up for grabs. So hopefully you'll come by here and take advantage of that. Vince Farrar, how are you doing?
Good, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Heard you had a great interview with Britton Colquitt, former Tennessee punter with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, he was so much fun to talk to. So looking forward to everyone hearing that, and just cool to get perspective from these NFL players on what life is like in camp right now. So, yeah, that was a fun visit.
All right, we will have that interview. We got Cole Kubelik with the SEC Network. He joins us at 4:05, and then we'll be joined by Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot to talk about with Tennessee sports with him, with college sports, the landscape, the impact, so much going on in that regard. All right, let's go ahead and get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology that you need, people you can trust. Oh, and by the way, we've got some Football Time in Tennessee magazines here as well that we can give away. First come, first serve here at the Food City. All right, Chancellor Donde Plowman announcing that Tennessee will not have any tailgating. I don't think anybody should be surprised by that. When we interviewed Philip Fulmer a couple of weeks ago, there were indications that they weren't going to go in that direction. He didn't say they weren't going to have it. But the indications were that they were not going to have tailgating, looking out for the safety of folks. I know a lot of people were probably upset about that. I think that's probably the right move, even though I know that it's taking away a lot of fun for people. But they're just, we got changing times, and I think that we need to be just listen to that and be as patient as we can with the new changes, all the changes that are out there. So also saw where Governor Lee said he had a, quote, encouraging conversation, close quote, quote, with Chancellor Plowman about Tennessee's approach to a, quote, safe season. He also said he likes what he has seen as far as Tennessee proceeding with trying to have football in the fall. Tennessee's first practice is scheduled for August the 17th. August 17th, that's when everybody in the SEC is going to start as well. All right, Tennessee has offered a local 7-footer. He's from Catholic High School. His name is Hanji Tamba. Rated the 173 prospect in the country. He helped Catholic win a state championship last year with his teammate B.J. Edwards, a point guard, who also has been offered by Tennessee. Tamba's been offered as well by Georgetown, by Auburn, by Wake Forest, and he plays for Bobby May's AAU team. So Tennessee does not have a commitment in that class, and we'll see if they're able to get one with Tamba's class. So we'll see. And this guy, I think, Vince, is probably fair to say he's a bit of a project, but as they say, you can't teach being 7 feet. So I think he has a chance to, it looks like, probably to be a really good player before it's said and done.
Yeah, I got a chance to call one of his games last year when we saw B.J. Edwards in that showcase game against IMG Academy when they came into town. And, you know, you could see the impact he has on the game. Still, you know, the skill development needs to come around. He's a, you know, young guy in the sport. So What stands out is he's got to have the characters and the projection that he can develop, I think, for this staff to offer him. So clearly they see more than just the size for him, for them to offer, because they don't just offer anyone who's either tall or skilled.
Right. All right, a few other notes out there. Dabo Swinney saying that fewer teams doesn't lower the value of the national championship. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. I think we both agree it does to some degree. Purdue coach Jeff Brohm has proposed 8 games in the spring from February 27 to April the 17th, and then the playoffs or any postseason would end on May the 15th, and then a fall schedule starting October the 2nd in which you play 10 games. So he's proposing 18 games, not counting postseason play, in the, quote, spring, and then going into the fall. We do have teams in college football that, LSU an example last year, played 15 games in one season. Do you like Brohm's proposal?
No, it's too many games into a short period of time. I get that he is proposing shortening that spring season, but I still think that is way too much. And you're going to have kids opting out, and I don't know how you can talk about health and safety of the student-athletes, and you're going to require that of them for anyone that would be around and have eligibility for both seasons and wouldn't move on. It's doable for those that are going to play one or the other. If you're an early enrollee now and then you play in 2021, then it doesn't impact you. If you play in 2020 and you're moving on and your eligibility's up or you're going early to the league, it still impacts you for the league, but the whole totality of one calendar year doesn't. I think that's too much football. And yeah, I saw that Ryan Day is saying, hey, we need to play the spring by January.
Start the first week of January.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. He says we need to do this soon. We need to get that in as early as possible. I like that a little bit better than doing it in the spring. It might keep a few more guys around rather than opting out of the league or opting out for the league. And I think you'd still need to do a shortened season even if you did do it in January. So I'm a little bit more open to that. Depends on where the virus is, obviously. But I just don't like that plan. It's just too much contact in one year.
I like it. As I mentioned earlier, LSU had 15 games in one season. So he's only proposing 3 more games than what LSU played in the whole season. Plus you have an off season to try to get ready because you're going to end the season May the 15th, but most people are going to be ending it in April. And so you got May, June, July, August off because you're not going to start the season until October 2nd. So you got 4 months off. So I like it. I don't think it's too many games. So anyway, and what Ryan Day was saying in part was to start the first week of January so he can get Justin Fields on the field, and then he can prepare for the draft so that you don't start too late. And that doesn't impact the high-profile players from being able to play and then prepare for the draft. I'll say one thing. I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes or not. I might be. But I'm tired of people telling people whether they should play or not. If Justin Fields wants to play, that's his call. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not anybody else. If Trevor Lawrence wants to play, let him play. Doesn't have to. But if they want to play, fine. I get tired of these ESPN people saying, if you have their best interest in heart, you won't let them play. No, that's their call. Kind of like a bowl game. If you don't want to play in a bowl game, that's fine. If you want to play in a bowl game, and I understand that's only one game, but why are you making a decision for somebody else? That's his call, not yours. So I'm tired of hearing that. If they want to play, fine. If they don't want to play, that's fine. We know they're not going to be penalized. We know that they're going to keep the scholarship. They will, and they'll. In fact, they're giving them an extra year of eligibility for the year after that. So I'm just over this. Everybody telling people, not everybody. So many people telling them, nope, you shouldn't play. You better not play. It's stupid if you play. That's not your decision. It's theirs. And, again, if they decide not to play, that's fine. Okay, I'm off that soapbox. All right, let's move on to the Big 12. Their non-conference schedule that they have right now is not real difficult, as no surprise. A couple of decent opponents in there. But anyway, so this is the Big 12 non-conference games that will be played September the 12th. Oklahoma against Missouri State. Oklahoma State against Tulsa, and Tulsa sometimes is pretty good. TCU will play Texas Tech. Kansas State against Arkansas State. Tennessee Tech against Houston Baptist. Texas Tech against Houston Baptist, and then West Virginia is going to play Eastern Kentucky. So those are the games that are out there as far as the Big 12, their non-conference games. New Mexico State, after trying to figure out how to play four games in the fall, they've decided, nope, they're postponing the fall season altogether, and they will not play until the spring. The Southland Conference has postponed football in the spring, but they're going to allow teams to play non-conference games in the fall. Vince, how do you see that? And I think the maximum would be like four in the fall. But how do you see that? You're going to play four games in the fall and then your regular schedule the next year, at least your conference schedule the next year? What are your thoughts on that one?
I don't understand doing it both ways, where is it not healthy and safe for your players? So don't play. So why let them do both? I don't, from a conference standpoint, I just don't understand. There's a lot of things in this whole COVID. Are we going to play? We're not going to play, that I don't understand. But Jimmy, it's mixed messages to me. I don't get it.
Well, I agree completely with you on this one, because how can you say, nope, we're not going to play conference games where you could have the same safety protocols, but you can go play these four non-conference games and you have no idea in some cases what that school is doing with their safety protocols. One of the concerns with so many of these smaller schools opting out now is they don't have the money to provide all the testing that would be necessary to make it safe for players, right? So now you're going to tell them, oh, okay, you can go play this non-conference game. You can play four of them. It's not safe to play teams in your conference, but go play these non-conference teams that are coming in from Timbuktu. I don't understand that one at all.
I'll tell you what it's about.
Money?
If you can schedule a big-time play-in-buy game, and they can pay for your medical and you can make up some money, go for it.
Yeah,
That's a big part of that.
But here's the thing. There are a limited number of big programs like that can do it, right?
Sure.
There aren't many, so you're not going to get more than one of those kind of games, I wouldn't think. Of course, I'm sure they would like to get $1 million, but, I'm with you. That is a mixed message that I don't like. All right, a couple of other notes as far as trying to stick with football here. Clemson, this is a percentage of making the college football playoffs coming from Vegas. Clemson's percentage of making the college football playoff, that's four teams, went from 81% to 93%. Alabama went from 57% to 76%. So Nick Saban's got a chip on his shoulder there. You got Georgia going from 26% to 47%. LSU from 23% to 42%. Oklahoma from 16% to 33%. Texas from 13% to 28%. That's as far as making the playoff. So I also thought this was kind of interesting, too. So coming from the Big 12, their commissioner said that there were two doctors from Power 5 conferences that said that you can play and prevent some of these COVID-19 problems. The Pac-12 said, no, it's not safe, and with the testing and the turnaround time, you cannot do it. So we mentioned this yesterday. The commissioner of the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby, said that you can look at the same data and come up with a different interpretation or a different judgment. And apparently that's what's going on with some of these out there. And by the way, the Big East, no sports in the fall, but basketball is not affected by that. So there may be basketball in the fall in the Big East. Okay, a couple of other notes as we bounce around a little bit. A couple of tennis notes. Novak Djokovic, the number one player in the world, said he's going to play in the U.S. Open August the 31st in New York, provided they have it. They've already been Roger Federer's out because of surgery. Rafael Nadal has opted out because of COVID. And Djokovic, to get acclimated and to be quarantined properly, is going to arrive in the U.S. this Saturday to get ready for the U.S. Open. Venus Williams taking on Serena Williams. Gosh, I meant to look up and see who won that. That was to be their 31st meeting. And Venus is 40, Serena's 38. They're in the round of 16 in the top seed tournament in Lexington, Kentucky. Coco Gauff won earlier today, and she's made the round of 16. Serena, by the way, leads that series against her sister at 18-12. All right, George Kittle, how about this contract? Five-year extension, $75 million, $40 million guaranteed. His yards after catch, in the last 3 years, ranks behind only two other players. Christian McCaffrey, who's got 2,440 yards after catch, and then Alvin Kamara, 1902. Kittle comes in at 1599. Does Kittle reset the value of the tight end position, Vince, or is he such an exceptional tight end that he is not going to change pay for tight ends going forward?
Oh, I think he resets the market, because I think we're seeing more and more of these type of tight ends come into the league that, especially for Kittle, that can do both and aren't just pass catchers, although Kelsey's getting paid too. So he does block some, but I think Kittle is the more total package and fiercer blocker of the two. That's why I think he's the best tight end. So, yeah, I think it will impact all the other tight ends, because you're seeing that type. By the way, Serena and Venus are in the third set. Venus, it's 3-6, 6-3, and then Venus is up 4-3 in the third set right now.
Who won the first set?
It looks like Venus did, 6-3, okay. and then Serena won the second set.
In the history of their matches, the person that wins the first set has won all but four matches. So that would mean they're 26-4 if you win the first set in this head-to-head match between the sisters. So interesting. Okay, I want to touch on this with Dak Prescott. There are a couple things I want to jump on here. This was a quote that I heard talking about the Cowboys. We haven't been as smart as we've needed to be in the game of football, and that's what these coaches have added. Ouch. Maybe a little bit of a shot at Jason Garrett and crew?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what that is. I mean, you could interpret it as more of a compliment towards Mike McCarthy if you want to spin it, but I think that is a shot at Jason Garrett. And look, Jason Garrett isn't throwing anyone else under the bus, you know, now that he's in New York. So not ideal, but people will move on from it. So it's not a huge deal, but yeah, that's a shot.
All right, and also from Dak, as I watch this, so he's going to make, I think it's $31.4 million on the franchise tag. So once again, I heard this discussion about Dallas did not make him a fair offer. And I'll argue with that. I think it was very fair. They offered him 5 years at about $35 million. He wanted 4 years at about $35 million. I don't think that's unfair. Now, you may have had an argument about 1 year, but there's nothing about that offer, in my opinion, that is unfair. I also don't think Dak is an elite quarterback. I think he's a good NFL quarterback, but he's not elite. His record against the better teams in the league is not very good. Do you think Dallas made an unfair offer to Dak Prescott?
No, not unfair, but that, you know, there's different times where they could sign him for different dollar amounts. That wasn't the offer from the beginning. So I'm not saying that the Cowboys were without issue during the process. That's what I'm saying, is that, you know, there are some missteps along the way. But in the end, no, I think for where his status is and what he's done in the league, I don't think that's an unfair offer. So, and plus that number, that was a moving target throughout the process. So what's unfair from the beginning? At what point? It changed.
Final offer. What was it? Who wants to be a millionaire? Final offer. Final. Here's what I think the mistake was. I think the mistake was you didn't sign him after his third year. I think that's where you should have signed him. And but I can't blame Dallas for saying 5 years, and he wanted it at 4 years. It certainly didn't stop Patrick Mahomes from signing. What was his extension's 10 years, right? Something like that. So they just squabbled over 1 year on the contract. So we'll see what happens with that situation. But I would argue I don't think it's unfair at all, unless you think he is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and I don't. But maybe others have a higher opinion of him. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Bill Barnwell with ESPN. He's got what he considers to be the four most improved teams that will be in the NFL, then the four that are going to take the biggest decline. We've got some NBA notes. We've got something in Major League Baseball that was one of the great rarities that you'll ever see in baseball as far as the result of a game that was played last night. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. You can also come by our Food City Remote, that's 4805 North Broadway, and you can try to get registered for the big ticket. We're going to have that drawing around 6 o'clock. We're going to have a couple of qualifiers that we're going to draw up until 5:45. So you got a chance to come by and get involved with that. So please don't miss out on that. And also about Food City, their deals for days sale. You can save big on items throughout the store, including Food City's fresh ground chuck, $1.99 a pound for 3 pounds or more, and that's through Saturday, August the 15th. Don't miss this chance to stock up and save at Food City. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Illinois.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle. This is 99.1, the sports animal.
Sports Talk, we come to you from the Food City at Fountain City. That's we're at 4905 North Broadway, easy to get here. So if you're at the 640 split, you would head toward Fountain City and probably go maybe a quarter of a mile. We're on the left, so you can come by here with your opportunity to get registered for the big ticket. We're going to have that drawing in the 6 o'clock hour today. We're going to have a couple of qualifiers that we picked today. What you do is you come by here and you find out the keyword that you have to text to 68683. And when you do that, that puts you in the running to be a qualifier for the big ticket, which is a fabulous prize. So somebody's going to be a really happy camper winning that. All right. Wanted to mention as far as the Masters, we talked about no fans will be attending the Masters. If you bought a ticket, you'll be able to use that ticket for next year. The TV rights, though, is going to generate a whole lot of money. At least you would think the ratings are going to be out of sight. I don't know if they can renegotiate that. The Wyndham Tournament, Greensboro, North Carolina, Scott Stallings of Knoxville, first round, he shoots a 70. Peter Malnati was 2-under through 10. Harold Varner has the lead so far in the clubhouse. He shot a 62. That's 8-under par. When we come back, we'll have more. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City. Sports Talk, 99.1, the sports animal. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. I'm at the Food City, which is at 4805 North Broadway, and you still have time to come by and try to get registered for the big ticket. We've got the keyword that you need to text to 68683 that puts you in position to be a qualifier. All right, a couple of notes I want to bring to you. This was historic. So last night, the Marlins led 8-0, then Toronto came back and tied them. Then the Marlins went 14-11 in 10 innings. What made it historic, Toronto hit 7 home runs and lost. In the history of Major League Baseball, there have been 108 teams that have hit 7 home runs in a game. 104-1. 104-4 is the record of teams that hit 7 home runs in a game, and Toronto lost after hitting 7 home runs. The Dodgers pitcher Joe Kelly, 8-game suspension, has been reduced to 5. Boston Red Sox are 6-12. They have the same record after 18 games last year. They've lost 12 out of 13 at home to Tampa. That's really hard to figure. All right, congratulations again. I mentioned it late in the show yesterday, but to Braxton Hunter, he's our co-host on Golf Talk, Fairways and Greens instructor. He finished second in the Tennessee PGA at the Legends Club at Vanderbilt. So he will be one of four representatives from Tennessee in the National PGA in April, Port St. Lucie in Florida. So congratulations to him in that regard. Brad Stevens signs an extension. He is for the Celtics. He's taken them to the playoffs 6 years in a row. Russell Westbrook, a quad strain. Not sure if he's going to be ready for the opening of the playoffs. And also Damian Lillard, who's just been incredible. He averages 27.7 points against the Lakers in his career. So looking at the all-time leading scorers against the Lakers, Wilt Chamberlain averaged 37.9 points against the Lakers. This is a minimum of 10 games. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he was with the Bucks, averaged 31.1 against the Lakers. Michael Jordan, 28.9. And Lillard at 27.7, LeBron James 27.6, Anthony Davis 27.4. So those are the top scores against the Lakers all time. And as far as the matchups in the playoffs, so in the NBA, I guess start this weekend. So you got in the East Division, the number one seed is Boston. They'll take on number eight seed Magic. The number four seed, the Heat, versus the five seed Pacers. Number three, Boston against number six, Philadelphia. Number two, Toronto against number seven, the Brooklyn Nets. All right, and then in the West, we've got the Lakers as the one seed. The Lakers are going to either play Memphis, Portland, the Suns, or the Spurs. Then at the four seed, it's OKC against Houston. The three seed, Denver, takes on six seed Utah. And the two-seed Clippers take on number seven, Dallas. Really good matchups. I'm looking forward to this. The Lakers have a chance to catch a really hot team, whether that's going to be the Suns or Portland with Damian Lillard. So that could end up being a pretty decent series for a one versus an eight. But a lot of these other series I think are very intriguing. I think those NBA playoffs are going to be a lot of fun to watch. Zion Williamson's rookie season is over. He's not going to play in the last game. They're going to rest him. And he did do something that is rare for a rookie in the NBA. He's the second rookie in the NBA to average 20 points and shoot at least 55% from the field. The other rookie to do that? A guy by the name of Shaquille O'Neal. He did it for the Lakers as a rookie for Orlando as a rookie in 92-93. So Zion, kind of a disappointing rookie year from the standpoint he didn't play that many games. Certainly very productive when he did play. And by golly, if that guy can stay healthy, look out. He is, I think, going to be a dynamite player in the NBA. Another note about Dak Prescott, and this has been mentioned before in different terms, but how good is Prescott? And some people think he's one of the elite. Some people think he's just a little bit above average. I think he's a really good NFL quarterback who's not an elite quarterback, but this is a stat that is not in his favor. So here's his record against teams that have won nine or fewer games by the end of the season. He's 35-11 with 75 touchdowns to 17 interceptions with a quarterback rating of 73, which is second. All right, so 35-11 against teams, nine or fewer wins. If the opponent had 10 or more wins at the end of the season, he's 5-13, 22 touchdowns to 19 interceptions, and he ranks his quarterback rating is 55, and that ranks him 19th against teams with 10 or more wins. So now, is some of that the play calling or doubt? Some of it is, but I've watched enough of their games to where he had opportunities late in the game to lead Dallas down there for a game-winning touchdown or field goal, and he didn't deliver. So a little bit of both on that. But anyway, that's a look at his record against teams, nine wins or fewer, 10 wins or more. Vince, going back to the playoffs, NBA playoffs, I mentioned I think there are a lot of really intriguing matchups. And one that I think may end up being better than you would think on paper is looking at the Lakers versus whoever they end up playing. So I think the eighth seed has a chance to give them some – give them a competition, whether it's going to be Portland or the Suns. How do you see that?
Well, hang on, Jimmy. Let me get you back on here and get off speakerphone. But, I think that they will give the Lakers trouble. If the Lakers were full strength, to say if they had Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, I would think it would be more difficult. But they have not played well in that bubble. They beat the Clippers the first night, and they've been kind of up and down and inconsistent and unimpressive. I know they coasted after they locked down that one seed, so that maybe might be a factor also. But Charles Barkley has already said if Portland gets that eight seed, he thinks they're beating the Lakers in that first-round series, which is really stepping out there. I don't know if I would go that far, but I think if it's Portland or Phoenix, they would give them trouble. Maybe more so Portland. I would trust them a little bit more because they're a little bit more of a veteran team and you have Dame. Yeah. Phoenix has more of a bright future, but Memphis, I don't see that. So I'm not going to – or San Antonio. So it's not anyone. I think Portland would be the team to most give the Lakers issues.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Lillard's on such a roll. He's got that chip on his shoulder. And I think that's going to be a tough out for the Lakers. And as you said, they're not at full speed. So that could be a factor, too. But I think there are a lot of really good matchups in these playoffs. I think I misspoke earlier. I think I said Boston takes on the Magic. It's Milwaukee taking on the Magic. Sorry. But so I went through the matchups that are out there. And I think a lot of these are going to be real intriguing. The one that I think may be pretty one-sided will be Toronto against the Nets.
Yes.
But other than that, I think a lot of these series could be, Vince, I think could be pretty close.
Yeah, and Milwaukee hasn't exactly played spectacular mm-hmm. basketball either in the bubble. I think that I still think Milwaukee will win that series, but the Nets have played better than I think people would expect, and they're so shorthanded
right
in the bubble. So I don't think Toronto's played really well. So I think that will be the most lopsided of those first round series. But at the top, Jimmy, once you get into that second round, I think it's wide open in the East. I think the way Milwaukee has played, it's got to give everybody else in the East confidence. And then the fact that Philadelphia isn't anywhere close to full strength without Ben Simmons. I was so looking forward to seeing what they would look like with him playing the four and that different look. But you know, they turned the basketball over a lot, and then Embiid's banged up also. I just, even though they have other stars and a couple of VFLs, I don't think they're, as they are right now, a legitimate threat in the East.
Yeah. That's Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. If you want to get registered for a chance to win the big ticket, you still have from now until like 5:45 when we're going to get some qualifiers. You need to come by the Food City in Fountain City. That's 4905 North Broadway. And you will find the word that you need to text to 68683. When you do that, you can put yourself in the running to be a qualifier. In the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to announce the winner of the big ticket. It's been a fantastic prize that we've been doing for over a decade. We look forward to doing that again. And also, we want to thank the folks sponsoring us as well, and that's Body Armor. Body Armor has been a great sponsor for this. And you can, if you have a Food City Value Card, and you buy a Body Armor product, you enter a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart. What a great prize that is. But as far as Body Armor is concerned, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and coconut water to hydrate you while working on your game. And only you can make you better. Body Armor sports drinks are available to help you do that at Food City. When we come back, we'll have more. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. We come to you from the Food City in Fountain City, 4905 North Broadway, for your last opportunity to get registered for the big ticket. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Let's go to the phones where Jim is our next caller. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon, Jim.
You know, one of the things that this pandemic has really pointed out in college football is, of course, the lack of what has been called a czar, somebody that oversees the entire college football situation. We've got mm-hmm. conferences that do their own things, headed up by, commissioners, each conference.
Who
allegedly communicate, but in the end, look, they do things in their own self-interest. Mm-hmm. of what they think their conference wants and needs. Do you guys ever see that we will ever have, I hate the word, but a czar of college football, somebody that heads is over all the commissioners and so forth? And how would that ever come about? You guys ever see that happening?
Well, I hate to say never, because 20 years ago I didn't think the SEC would have 14 teams, so I can't say never. I'm going to say unlikely. Now, there's a part of me that thinks it's needed, but here's one of the problems as I see it, and then I'll go to Vince and get his take on that. I don't think the SEC wants – I don't think Sankey wants a boss. I don't think the commissioner of the Big Ten wants a boss, or the Pac-12. I don't think they want bosses. I think they do want to be able to go out on their own if they want to. So I don't think they want somebody else telling them what to do. So I'm going to say it's unlikely, although I think in many respects it is needed. Vince? Did we lose Vince?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I think the only way we could see that is if the Power Fives separate from everybody else. And I guess that would include the NCAA. So and if they do that, and there's been people that have been projecting that for a while, if they were to do their own thing, then yes, I could see that. Otherwise, no. But, Jim, I don't know what anything is going to look like next year, or much less next week. So let's see, is the amateurism model, is that blowing everything up? You know, what does all this, the financial catastrophe of so many schools are going to go through, is that going to separate the haves and have-nots even more, because some of the smaller schools are going to be even more decimated? What does this all look like afterwards? So does that force the hand for them to say, look, we can't get in this position again, we need to do something? I don't know. There's just so many moving parts with that. But I've always felt it'd have to be some sort of separation, the Power Fives only, to have that scenario. But all of this could change and maybe speed up that timetable. Who knows?
Well, Jimmy, I think your point about commissioners do not want bosses is right on point. They do not. If you've got somebody that oversees the whole thing, that almost intimates that there's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing, and you can And really, with this pandemic thing, you've got different rules in different states, that you've got governors that are making different decisions and so forth. And there is no one size fits all, not even close. So I don't think we'll ever see the one guy heading this thing up. But this thing did prove, though, that commissioners are going to do what they want to do, and cooperation may be something nice to say we do and advocate and all that stuff. But when it comes down to crunch time, they're going to do what's in the best interest of their own conference.
Well, to that extent, the Big Ten was the first one to come out and say we're going conference games only, and it surprised the other conference commissioners. They didn't know the Big Ten was going. And then on the other side of that, too, the ACC comes out with a 10 conference games plus one, with the intent to play four SEC rivalry games, and the SEC, and that's what they thought they were going to have. And then the SEC says, nope, conference games only. Well, where was that communication? Yep. So, it's an interesting situation.
Yeah, it's surprise, surprise, surprise. These guys may say they talk to each other, but they're not communicating real well. Well, guys,
maybe one's talking
and
the other's not listening.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, you guys have a good afternoon.
Hey, Jim, we appreciate it. Thank you. Vince, if you had a commissioner of or a czar of college football, would Sankey get your vote? Would it be Bob Bowles, Larry Scott? What do you think?
I think that Greg Sankey has probably done the best job during this whole period in terms of the commissioners. You know, not being behind closed doors, it's hard to know what some of those decisions, thought processes are. But what we're able to see, I think he has handled things with the most poise and made the most sound decisions during this process. we'll see how it plays out, but I'd have to give it more of a thought beyond just the current commissioners, who it would be. And I might actually like someone that's not currently involved in everything right now, so there's not any sort of inherent vested interest in a commissioner. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you who it wouldn't be, Mark Emmert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we'd have much debate on that one from anybody. So,
no.
Yeah. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Cole Kubelik with the SEC Network. He's a former offensive lineman at Auburn, does a terrific job, and as we all know, a huge fan of Tennessee offensive lineman Trey Smith. We come to you from the Food City located in Fountain City, 4905 North Broadway, where you still got until 5:45 to come by and get registered for the big ticket. You will text a keyword to 68683, and that'll put you in the running. Also, our thanks to Body Armor for having us out here. Body Armor, great drinks. It is the choice of today's athletes. Body Armor sports drinks. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.